We do want to continue back in Romans chapter number 6. Now, we've been trying to work on this lesson on baptism for the past couple of Sundays, and we've been having little deviations, but prayerfully we'll be able to get a little further in the lesson this week. Now, as we said in Romans chapter number 6 and 1, the writer is asking a question: shall we continue? What shall we say then? Because we're living during the dispensation of grace. Now, the dispensation is a period of time in which the man is tested in respect of obedience to some known revelation from Jesus. What is a known revelation from Jesus during that period of time? The known revelation from Jesus during this period of time is what he revealed to Nicodemus there when Nicodemus asked him, how can the man be born, or how can a man become a part of Jesus' family when he is old? Jesus tells him that he had to be born of both water and spirit. Now, Paul in Romans chapter number 6 is working with the saints to help them to understand the role and significance of baptism in their life, and how it's important to understand that you make certain mental changes in order for baptism to really have a value in you. Many people run to that water. I see it all the time. I'm amazed at how many people, they say, we baptized this many people this year, that many people this year. I'm amazed at how many people get, how many baptisms people have on record in their churches over a year. But you look at those numbers and you be wondering, you say, well, all these people that you've baptized, how many people have actually repented of the sin? How many people have actually had a mind to want to live for Jesus? See, that's the problem. The people go down in the water, but then they come up continuing in that same lifestyle that the Lord said you should have brought to an end. Verse number 11 will help you to better understand verse number 3. You see, in verse number 3 it says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his what?
Death.
Into his death. Mm-hmm. Now, as we went over on last Sunday, God is a spirit. Mm-hmm. Spirits have no body. They have no form. They have no gender. Somebody say, is God a male or a female? Spirits have no gender. They're neither male nor female. All right? How can you tell the right hand from the left hand of a spirit? The only way you'll know that a spirit exists is it has to manifest itself. We know God exists because of creation. We see things that were not that are now. Creation did not have any light. According to Genesis explains to us what creation looked like before Jesus brought things into existence. Jesus said that the earth was void. It was without form and void. Darkness moved upon the face of the deep. But the Creator, God Himself, said, let there be light. And then what happened? There was light. So we realize that creation came into existence because Jesus had a thought. And he made us to know what his thought is by verbally speaking it. He thought light, therefore he said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. So when you look at all of, you understand that God is a spirit, And understand that Adam and Eve, when they ate of that fruit, they brought the human being into a condition that none of us would be able to get out of. You can't solve this condition called sin anyway. There's no way to get out of sin but through Jesus. Writer then said that just like the Adam brought sin into the world, when Adam ate of that fruit, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore death passed upon who? All men. For that all have done what? Sin. Adam brought that condition into the world. And Jesus tells you the reason why he came. He says, I'm come, she shall bring forth the son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall do what? Save. Jesus will save or deliver his people from their sin. So the only one that can deliver us from that state or that condition is Jesus. Now, as we said, God is a spirit. God had no body, had no blood. But he said, just like the children are flesh and blood, he said he likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death, that through sin's payment, sin's wage. Remember, the wage of sin is what? Death. He said that through death, through sin's payment, he might destroy him that had the power of death. Don't you realize sin caused all of creation, all of humanity, sin caused it all to be separated from God at death, at life and at death. When you came into this world, you were born in sin, and when you died, you had to pay sin's price, which was death. And that meant you had to be separated from Jesus. You had to be separated from life. So everyone up till Jesus' time, when they died, they could not go back with Jesus. They could not go to the God that made them because of sin's payment, sin's price, sin's plague, sin's debt on them. So scripture says, therefore, as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same. That through what? Through that avenue of death, he became sin for us. Through that avenue of death, he took on sin's price for us. He paid sin's wage for us. He got up on that cross. He died. We explained that to you on last week. What the cross of Christ, the significance and the purpose of it. It was for him to be able to shed blood. And when he shed that blood, he said that blood was shed for the remission, for the removal of sin. But it did not take away the wage. The wage was still what? Death. So when Jesus died, when that body died on that cross, it made a gateway for God, who is righteous, who wants nothing to do with sin, to feel the pain that we went through. That's the truth. Scripture says that when you go over to Hebrews chapter number 4, or Hebrews chapter number 3, really quick. Chapter number 4:14. Jesus is not like other high priests. Other high priests, they got into that position, they couldn't feel what the people were going through because of their sanctified lives, because they were confounded to the temple practices. So they didn't know what it was like to be dealing with all of this other stuff that was going on in the world. But Jesus wasn't like that kind of a high priest. Jesus was the kind of a high priest that was compassionate. He was the kind of high priest that related with the people. He got down with them. According to the scripture, other religious leaders were upset with Jesus, telling him he associated with these sinners. You ain't got no business going in that publican's house. You ain't got no business touching that adulteress. You ain't got no business touching that harlot. You ain't got no business talking to these crooks. And Jesus was letting them know flat off. He said, you thinking I'm coming to take care of those that are well, I'm coming to the sick. The sick are the ones that have need of the great physician, right? They're the ones that have need of the healer. So that's why in Hebrews, what is it? What did I say? 4:14 is trying to let you know Jesus is not like these other high priests. He's different. Seeing that we have a great high priest. Is that what that verse says?
That is passed
into the heavens.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Now, don't you be confused. Don't let the world confuse you when that title Son is in Scripture. That title Son is there to let you know basically that God came in the flesh. God came down in the flesh. Whenever you see that word Son in Scripture, it's only there to let you know God in the flesh. In other words, God in a redemptive office, a redemptive work. He is the Son through redemption. He God came in the flesh to redeem you and I from our sin. He came down in the flesh. Remember, God had nothing to do with sin. He's righteous. He wants nothing to do with it. He's holy. He can't stand the presence of sin. And if it was up to a righteous God, he would have destroyed the world when Adam looked at that fruit. When Adam looked at that fruit, Adam touched that fruit, Adam ate that fruit, it would have caused all of creation to be destroyed. But God looked through his body. When God looked through his body is the emblem of compassion. His body is the emblem of love, of long suffering. Of grace. When you see Jesus' body, you see grace manifested. You talk about unmerited favor. When you see the body of Jesus, you see unmerited favor. Favor who's shown to an undeserving people. That he was made sin for us. He took on sinful flesh for us. So that every time God looks and sees us get off track, and Satan is there to antagonize, saying, destroy them. Do you see how horrible they are? They look like me. At the moment when God is about to wink on creation, he looks through his body, and his body sees something that we can't see. Huh? That's right. His body sees something that you and I cannot see. It sees something afar off. Scripture says that, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Wow, for the suffering of death. That's the truth of the suffering of death. We've got this great cloud of witnesses that are laid out before us. Who they thought was up to the enemy, he would have cut them off in the beginning, in their mistake. But Jesus could see long term. He could see all the way down the road, right? That's the truth. He could have cut Saul off. Saul was causing havoc in the church. But he was causing a mess amongst the saints. And one writer gave the testimony of Saul. He said, I thought I should do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. But the Lord knocked him off of his horse. Lord humbled him and revealed himself to Saul. Saul was serving a God that he did not know. He said, who are you, Lord? Meaning the self-existing one, the creator of heaven and earth. And to Saul's unbelief, to Saul's surprise, to his shock, the Lord says, I am Jesus. In other words, the one that you have been opposing, the one that you have been fighting against, that God said, I am Jesus whom you persecute, right? That's the truth. Thank the Lord he spoke to us like that too. We out there serving all kind of gods. Didn't even know who they are. We didn't know them. We couldn't touch them. We couldn't love them. We call them God. Didn't know nothing about them. Huh? Didn't know nothing about them. Praying to them. Saying, God, do this. God, you don't even know who he is. You don't even know you talking to Satan. Huh? You out there talking to Satan, you living for the devil, and every time you talk to God, the devil's saying right up in your face. And he's saying, I am your God. Go drink. I am your God. Go smoke. I am your God. Go cuss. And you go and do it. You go and do it with such diligence. And that's how the devil would antagonize, or would be saying all these bad things about you before the Creator. He says, see, when you speak, they don't do nothing. But when I tell them to go do something, they run with a hurry. They run with great passion and go and do it. And then when the God of righteousness is about to wink on your weak self, when the God of righteousness is about to take you out, he looks through the body of Jesus. In other words, God looks through his body and he has compassion on you. What did his body see? He sees you long term. His body saw you in a saved state. In a saved condition. Jesus saw you saved before you even knew who he was. Yes, he did. Jesus saw your soul sanctified before you even knew what sanctification was, right? That's the truth. Thank the Lord for the body of Jesus and the compassion that is there in him. That's the truth. Seeing we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ went on up into the heaven, Son of God, come on to redemptive work. The redemptive work, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Come on, why? Because flesh and blood is tainted. And then when God, in that body, took that blood up there and put it on the eternal altar. The eternal place of sacrifice. Jesus. One writer said he shed that blood for all of eternity. For sins past, sins present, sins in the future. Nobody could do that for you but God himself. An eternal God shed eternal blood for you. Said that when I see that blood, I'll pass over you. I won't bring you into condemnation. In other words, I won't do to you what you deserve. I won't give you what you deserve. But I will have compassion on you. Did you were talking about that this morning. When people try to say you're no good, you're unfit. They look at you when you're trained and got off track. But they don't know Jesus. They don't know the power of prayer. They don't know the power of fasting. Fasting helps you to deny yourself. Fasting helps you to come to your senses and realize, Jesus, I'm unworthy. I'm unfit, Jesus. I'm undone. I need you to get inside of me and help me with my shortcomings. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, with our weaknesses. But with in all points tempted, just like we are. And he gave us the power of prayer. Sometimes you don't know what to pray for. Sometimes your lips don't know what to utter. But he lets you get down on your knees. He groans. He crying. And just say, Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus, fix me. Jesus, I need you, right? That's the truth. Groans and utterings. That's why I tell you, don't you sit up here and let prayer be wasted. Don't you sit up here and let prayer just be a stroke of the clock. It is intimate time. It's time for you to talk to Jesus. It's time for you to expose yourself. Open up your heart to the Lord. Let the Lord know the issues of your heart, right? That's the truth.
Tell him.
Tell
the Lord all that's going on inside of you. Tell the Lord all that stuff that you picked up that's not like him. Huh? Groans and utterance. That's what Romans says, in groans and utterance. Huh? Don't even know sometimes what to pray for. Why? Because that Adamic nature tries to conceal. That Adamic nature tries to hide the real you. It doesn't want it to be seen. It doesn't want the shame that sin brings. Oh, hallelujah. Sin is a very shameful thing. Sin is horrible. I tell you all the day long, when sin exposes itself, it ain't nothing pretty to look at. It's horrible. It's disgusting. But Jesus said, I gave you a throne of grace. I gave you a place of mercy. So that you can come down and say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. On me, what a sinner. A no good thing, right? A wretch. I'm dirty. I'm defiled, Jesus. That's what Isaiah said. Isaiah came before the righteousness of God. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm defiled. Why? Because I'm putting my hands around dirty folk. And they done dirty me up. But thank the Lord had provisions. The Lord had a remedy for that unclean state. Lord, send down angels. Come on. Good spirits. Lord, send down angels. And he armed them angels. He armed them with coals of fire. Come on, saint, I am your angel. Meaning I am your good spirit. I am the voice of Jesus here in the earth. I am his spokesman. I am your pastor. I am your shepherd. I give you this word to burn. Burn what? All of that ungodly stuff. All of that no good behavior. Them no good attitudes. Them non-wrong emotions. The word is given to burn that stuff out of you. So that you can be righteous. So that you can be holy, right? That's the truth. That's right. That's right. You don't want me to be a bad pastor. You don't want me to sit up on the wall and don't tell you. That's a bad pastor. To sit up on the wall and don't say nothing. See all the ungodly stuff and don't say nothing. Come on, saints. But you thank the Lord. The Lord didn't put that in my spirit. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. He put himself down inside of me. And when he put himself down inside of me, he put a spirit of truth inside of me. Saints, sometimes the truth hurts. The truth is uncomfortable. The truth does not feel good. But we know how long term, when the truth gets finished with us, we know all things work together for good. To them that do what, love them. I'm trying to tell you, saints, love the Lord with all of your heart, right? Love him with all of your mind, right? It'll work for your good. To them that do what, love Jesus. Who are you? You are the called. I didn't call you from your sin, Jesus. He took the time to call you out of your sinful state, right? Brought you into the way called holiness. This straight and this narrow way. Lord took the time to call you into this way. It was grace and mercy that gave you a mind to come out of your sin. Nothing but the grace and mercy of Jesus had compassion on you. When you were out there thinking sin was the life to live. When you were out there thinking you were unstoppable. When you were out there thinking you were so strong, so smart, so slick, nothing could stop you. But the grace and mercy of Jesus, it put brakes on your life. Sin was world's trying to kill you, but Jesus put the brakes on your life. Why? So that he could talk to you. Huh? So that he could put some common sense into your mind to let you know your wage, the payment of your life, is death. He's trying to kill you. He's trying to destroy you, right? That's the truth. Lord, put some breaks in your life to let you see yourself. Huh? Oh, yes, he did. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That same power spoke in our hearts, in our mind, gave us knowledge of who Jesus is. Huh? We realize our God is Jesus. When we look at the face of Jesus, we're looking at the face of God himself. I ain't looking for no other. Huh? Come on, saints. Anybody try to preach unto you another gospel? Let that person be a curse. Huh? That's what the book say. Let that person be a curse. Folks, get up and preach God, God, God. You are cursed. You are cursed. Why? Because you need to name who your God is. I want to hear a Jesus message. I want to hear the name of Jesus. Huh? When you pray, call Jesus. Don't get on your knees talking about God do this, God do this. Call him by his name. Scripture say God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above all names, right? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, things in earth, things in heaven, things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Psalms say, know ye not that the Lord, he is God? It is he that have done what? That's why we should be able to look at this virus, saints, and not be afraid. We should be able to look at all of this stuff that's going on and not live in fear. It is Jesus that has made us, right? And not we ourselves. We are his sheep. Huh? Come on, saints. Who you belong to? I belong to Jesus. We are his sheep. Huh? That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. We are his sheep. Huh? When you belong to Jesus, he satisfies all of your wants. He satisfies all of your needs. He is your protector. He is your healer. He is your provider, right?
Yes, yes, he is. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the truth.
Jesus.
Seeing you have a high priest, huh? Went into the heavens for you. Shed his blood for you. For your sins in the past, your sins you doing right now, and the sins you going to do tomorrow. See why you need to stay up under the blood of Jesus. Huh? See, when you went down in that water, you went up under the blood of Jesus. And the writer told you to come up walking in the newness of life. In other words, he's not talking about a mistake-free life. He's talking about a life of consciousness, a life of understanding. Huh? So that when you do get your hands dirty, you don't sit there and talk foolish, talking about the Lord know what I'm going through. Nah, I realize Jesus can cut me off whenever he gets ready. Therefore, when he opens up my mind to realize I did something wrong, I stop right where I am and say, Jesus, please help me take this no good thing out of me. I done picked up a wrong spirit, and that thing is causing me to do things I know I should not do, right?
It
ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
That's when you go down in that water with the right mind. You come up walking in the newness of life. Huh? Old things are what? Yeah, old things. When you didn't want to take accountability, when you didn't want to take personal accountability, when it was everybody's fault, huh? Everybody's fault but yours. Huh? You didn't want to see and admit your role in the problem. Huh? Sometimes you say, well, Scudder, I ain't had nothing to do with it. But did you see it? Yeah, I saw it. Why'd you see it? Because I was there. That's the problem right there.
Right.
You had no business being there.
Right.
Huh? If the Lord was guiding your feet, you would not have been there. Huh? Come on, that's the truth, saints. Personal accountability. You won't be looking for ways out, but you'll deal with the issue, the core of the problem. Obviously, you are there because there's a spirit inside of you, a spirit that is attracted to sin. Huh? And when sin exposes itself, instead of you running up under the blood of Jesus, you let that spirit hook, line, and sink you. Huh? That devil got you by the fish hook. And he just wheeling you right on in around his place of death. And only one that can get loose of that hook is you. But you got to add a kind of mind frame to say, Lord, something got a hold to me. Huh? And it ain't you, Jesus. I need you to cut this line, Lord Jesus. I need you to help me because I can't help myself, right? That's the truth. I need you to cut that line, Jesus. I need you to cut Satan's influence. Huh? I need you to cut Satan's temptation. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his who? Own. Not nobody else's lust. His own lust. Huh? That's why I tell you, you go down in that water like you're supposed to, you come up with a personal accountability type of mind. You stop looking to put the blame game. That blame game says, is this person? Is that person? This person is wrong. That person is wrong. But what about you? What are you doing? What are you saying? How are you thinking, right? Personal accountability. Huh? That's when you go down in the water like you're supposed to. That's when the Lord tell you to do what? Repent first. Repent. Acknowledge. Lord Jesus, this life I'm living is no good. This life I'm living, it reaps death. Huh? The reward of the sinful Adamic life is death. The reward of carnal living and thinking is death. Huh? Romans said that. To be carnally minded is death. Huh? That carnal mind is enmity against Jesus. Whenever the Lord is trying to work in you, that carnal mind will fight Jesus all day long. Huh? Do y'all understand that? You got to do something with that carnal attitude. You got to do something with that carnal spirit. You got to say, I don't want that to live in me no more, right? That's the truth. I don't want that thing to control me. I don't want that thing speaking to me. That would have basically said with your Sunday school lesson. You gotta tell that stuff, shut up. You gotta tell that stuff, stop talking to you. Stop whispering in your mind. You know it ain't Jesus. Huh? You know it ain't Jesus, and you know it ain't like Jesus. That stuff be whispering all up in your mind, taking you all up into feelings that are not like Jesus. Huh? And you got to say to that stuff, no, that ain't how I want to live. Lord done save me. Lord done save you. Lord done filled you with the Holy Ghost. I know what it feels like to have the Holy Ghost inside of me. Huh? I didn't get saved with the Holy Ghost and get up from the altar bitter. I didn't get up from the altar all talking about what I'm going through. Huh? I got up from the altar with joy. I got up from the altar with peace down in my mind. Huh? So the Lord done set the bar. He done set the standard for what it is like to be full of the Holy Ghost. Now it's up to me to keep on seeking Jesus every day to say, Lord, fill me up. Come on, saints. You can't be satisfied with the quicken. You can't be satisfied with a shout. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost. So much so it affixes how you respond. It fixes how you look. Your facial disposition. It fixes what's going on in your head. That's how you know you got to be full of the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Ain't no more room for nothing else.
Yes.
seeing we got a high priest. Read the rest of it for me.
That is fast in the heavens.
Yes.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Yes.
Hold fast our profession.
Come on. Who got to do this? You do.
You
got to
hold fast.
You got to hold on to what you profess.
That's right.
What do you profess? I profess Jesus God. Jesus is God. Huh? Jesus is the name of God. When I want God's attention, I say Jesus. Huh? Come on, that's why I think it's strange. Someone say they got the Holy Ghost. I think it's strange when somebody say they believe Jesus God, but yet their whole message is bunch of God, 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 God. That let me know something else got a hold of your mind. It's not Jesus. Jesus will glorify himself. Huh? When you got the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus will glorify himself, right? That's the truth. He don't put "I'm ashamed of the name" inside of me. He put a boldness. Put a boldness inside of me. Times of trouble, I don't say, "Oh God," I say, "Jesus." Huh? Times of stress, I say, "Jesus." Huh? That's true. Devil be raging all on the job. People get on that phone and start to cussing and fussing. All in my mind, I'm just saying, Jesus.
Yeah.
Put that phone on mute, Jesus.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
See, the world, them devils, will use what the saints or what the quote-unquote church have been saying all along. You know, these little slings. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Huh? But they won't say that about no Jesus. Huh? They say, "Look at God. Look at God. Ain't God good? Ain't God good?" They won't say that about Jesus. Why? Because they know you better not bother with that name Jesus. Huh? Y'all not to be using that name so much. That's blasphemy. Huh? Them devils know its power in that name. Huh? Them devils know its authority in that name. Huh? Devil ain't gonna help you just blurt out Jesus like that. He'll let you blurt out a whole lot of God, God, God. But when it comes down to that name, Jesus, he gets nervous. Huh? You go to yelling Jesus enough. Huh? Go to yelling Jesus enough. That's why I love it. When the Lord getting these unsaved people and they want to sing about the name Jesus, sometimes I look at them and I be wild, like, wow. How in the world are you going to hold on to that name that much? Huh? Face full of lipstick. Huh? With your pants on shaking. Hey, Jesus, Jesus. I be saying, man, how are you holding on to that name that much? And it ain't doing nothing to you? That's how you know their mind is messed up. Scripture said the God of this world has control of their mind, right? That's the truth. That devil don't want to let him go. Because he let him keep on dressing like Jezebel's. Huh? Still singing about Jesus. And that don't add up, do it? How you going to dress like Jezebel and sing about Jesus? Huh? That's the truth. That means I'm going to put on $1,000 suit and I'm going to go work with pigs in the pig pen. That don't add up, do it? Huh? That let you know you really ain't, your mind is messed up. Huh? Seem like to me, if you're going to put that much money on your back, you'll get somewhere and sit still. You'll keep yourself clean, right? Huh? That's a true. That's true. Read a little bit more of that.
But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity.
I said that already. Keep going.
But with an all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
So that let me know, if I let Jesus live in me, live in me and rule in me, I can go through the day without sinning. Huh? Oh yeah, you can. You can keep your mind on Jesus. And he will keep you in perfect peace. That's why I tell you, don't take long to receive the Holy Ghost. If you come up out that water with a new mind, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You come up out that water with a new mind, a new attitude, Jesus will fill you with His Spirit. Huh? Holy Ghost will come right on in. You say, well, I just gotta, why am I down there calling Jesus so much and ain't nothing having it? You got a force standing at the door. Huh? And it's called flesh. It's called self. And it's keeping the power of Jesus from coming inside, right? What do I got to do? You got to deny yourself. Huh? You got to put self down. You got to tell self no. Huh? Self get to whispering no. Huh? Self tell you, saints be telling you. Call them with everything inside of you. I know what it looked like when you called Jesus with everything inside of you. Call them like you want them. Call them with everything inside of you. He be down there, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I said, no, call him with everything inside of you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Call him with everything inside of you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. See, I know. It's a force working in your mind. It's a rebellious spirit that got a hold of your mind. You don't realize how serious this is. Huh? I guarantee you, if I took you and I dropped you in the middle of the ocean and you didn't see no land in sight, and you knew Jesus was the only one, the only one that can help your weak self. You want me down there talking about no Jesus, 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 Jesus? You say Jesus, Jesus. You'll be crying out with everything inside of you, with every breath, with all of your strength. You'll be calling till your fingers start to shake. Till your back get out of shape. Why? Because you need some help. It's desperate time, right?
Yes.
So you think you're getting by with all that little cute stuff with me? You ain't getting by with me. I keep trying to tell you all day long, you're in the right place to get what you need. But it's up to you to be serious about your salvation. Somebody tell you, open up your mouth and call Jesus. Huh? Then you can sit there as though they're wasting your time and your energy. I'm trying to tell you, Jesus sees you. Huh? He's got His eyes on you. Huh? And He said, I done gave you the word. Huh? That word don't feel good. That word is like coal of fire. Huh? It pierces you. Huh? It burns you down on the inside. But you got to take that word and let it get on your lips. Huh? And burn that no good thing out of you. So that when you hear the word of life telling you to open up your mouth and call Jesus, you'll do just what they say. Huh? And I mean, you'll do it with haste. You'll do it with a fervent attitude, with some heat, with some passion. Huh? That's the truth. You open up your mouth wide. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Huh? That's true. Folks look at it and say, what in the world are they opening up their mouth like that for? Because they want the Lord to fill it. Huh? They ain't thinking about no time. They're not thinking about how they feel. All they doing is saying, the Lord told me to call Him. And I'm going to do what Jesus said. Huh? I'm going to do what Jesus said. Huh? I ain't going to do what this one say. I'm going to do what Jesus said. Do what the Lord. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, whosoever shall call upon Him. Huh? The name of the Lord. They shall be saved. Huh? That was the Lord say. Lord say, anything you want out of heaven, ask in His name. Huh? Say, I just got, I want the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you what Jesus said. He said, ask in His name. Right? You gotta ask the Lord to fill you. You gotta realize the Holy Ghost ain't from the earth. It's coming up from above. Huh? Lift your head up. Call on His name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Huh? I just gotta, I'm gonna be spitting all over the place. Don't you pay attention to no spit. You try to get your soul saved. Huh? Spit is from the body. Y'all understand that? My soul is trying to be saved. Lord say, cry out to Him. Cry out in desperate measure. Huh? Let the Lord know I'm sinking, Jesus. I'm in this thing called quicksand. And it's trying to cut my life off, right? Lord, you are the solid rock. Lord, plant my feet on the solid rock. Huh? You call on them like that if you really want them. That's the truth. You better take notes from blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus caught wind that Jesus was just passing by. Huh? He said, Jesus, thou son of David. Huh? Jesus. Boy said, shut your mouth. He done went on down the street now. He's busy. He's talking to somebody else. He said, oh no. I ain't going to let this moment pass me by. He said, Jesus. Jesus. In other words, he cried out with everything inside of him. I'm trying to tell you, when you make up your mind that you really want to be saved, you ain't going to be calling Jesus for a long time. Huh? You'll call him so till you get the Lord's attention. Then all of a sudden, your mouth will be trying to say Jesus, and the Lord will fill it. Huh?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord will fill it.
Yes.
He will loose that tongue.
Jesus.
That tongue will get loosed and begin to speak in a new language. Huh? You won't be speaking to me and nobody else in here. You'll be talking to the God that filled you. Huh? One writer said it's like you're sitting down at a table. Huh? And the feast is going forward. Huh? He will come into you.
Right.
That's what the scripture says. And will sup with you.
Yes.
You with him and he with you. Huh? Come on, saints. That's why I'm trying to get it in your mind. Put them phones down. Stop talking to folk that cannot save you.
Right.
Stop talking to people that can't get inside your soul.
Right.
Talk to the man that can get inside of you, right?
Right.
Get inside of you and walk.
Right.
Up and down in you, right?
Yes. Thank you. That's
the truth.
Right.
Talk to Jesus.
Yes.
Just like you talk on that phone. Sometimes I see you. You get on that phone and start to smiling. You get happy. You get to giggling, get to laughing. But when you talk to Jesus, you get so upset. You seem so disinterested. You seem so burdened. And yet you say you want the Lord to fill you. Yeah, right. You lying to yourself. Because you know if you really want the Lord to fill you, you'll talk to him like you really want him. You'll talk to him like he means something to you. Huh? I mean, I'm being serious. You'll talk to Jesus like Jesus means something to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You talk to him like you really love him. Like you really appreciate what he did for you on that cross. Huh? You realize, Lord, when you died on that cross, you had me in mind. Huh? You kept on dying because you wanted to show me how much you loved me.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I ain't worried about Deacon James. He got to have his own relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Stephen.
Right.
Jesus kept on dying on that cross because he wanted to show me
right.
how much he loved me. Right?
Right. Right.
He took all the spit.
Yes, he did.
He took all the beating.
Mm-hmm.
He took all the ridicule.
Yes.
All to prove a point to who? To me.
Right.
That no matter what the world do, no matter what the world say,
right.
you better hold on to me
right.
with everything inside of you.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Is that what the book say?
Yes.
Let us hold fast
right.
the profession of our faith.
Huh?
Without being shaky. Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? I see a whole lot of shaky saints. Huh? Unsure.
Yeah.
Hmm? You ain't gripping hold of that solid rock.
Mm-hmm.
That song say, this rock is Jesus.
Yes.
Huh? Is that what the song say?
Yes.
This
yes.
rock is Jesus.
Yes.
He is the one.
Yes.
Be very sure.
Yes.
Be very sure. Your anchor holds
oh.
and grips.
Grip
Come on, saints, bottom fist up.
Uh-huh.
Grip.
Grip.
Grip hold of Jesus. Come on, grip hold of him. Don't be weak. Grip hold of Jesus. Grip hold of that solid rock. Let that Lord know I ain't going to let you go, Lord Jesus. I'm holding on for dear life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm letting the Lord know I ain't wavering. I ain't shaking in my faith. Hold on with everything inside. And I gotta hold on because my life depends on it. That devil be trying to pry your fingers over. You just say no.
That's
what the distractions are. The distractions are trying to pry your fingers open. And that's what you saw there on that commercial on the little cartoon yesterday. Them things, the little big old bird was holding on, and them things just kept on plucking. And his fingers started hurting. That's all the devil trying to do to you. Trying to make your fingers start hurting. Huh? Because he don't want you to hold on that tight to Jesus. He wants you to say, you too weak to hold on to the Lord. Don't you see how you feel? Huh? Don't you see you all by yourself? You ain't got nobody hold on with Jesus with you. Huh? You the only one. Look at all these people that let go and look how good they do. And you still sitting there holding on to old Jesus. You know like I know. You better hold on with everything inside of you. One thing I have learned, when the devil steps up his talks like that into your mind, something about to happen. Something about to happen that's centered around you. And you got to make sure you have Jesus so that you can go through whatever it is. Do y'all understand that? Devil wants you to be real weak when the time for the test come. When that test and that trial come, that who got to go through? You. Ain't nobody else going to go through it but you. See, that's when the devil wants you to be real weak. So that when that thing come, you get so weak, you say, oh, I can't make it. I'm so weak. Don't nobody know what I'm going. You just full of yourself. And before you know it, test ain't even got started good and you failed. Test ain't even got started good and you failed. And you say, y'all help me. I can't help you. I can't help you. I'm sorry. I'm trying to hold on for myself. If I let go and grab hold of you, who am I going to hold on to? You sinking. I'm trying to live. You sinking. You done made up your choice. You got some common sense. You better get back over here to Jesus and hold on with everything inside of you. Huh? Just like I'm doing. Huh? Well, I'm going to die. You better die holding on to Jesus then. I can't think of a better way to stop breathing. You stop breathing, at least you know you're holding on to Jesus. Huh? At least you know that you got something to look forward to. You holding on to Jesus when you die. Lord said he going to have the angels escort you into his presence. Huh? And that what they saw, when the rich man saw Lazarus, he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Isn't that something?
Yes.
So angels carried Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham. Consoled it. Comforted. Right? And look at that old rich man burning. Now you, who do you want to hold on to? I want to hold on to the Lord. I want to hold on to when the writer say, don't be wavering in my faith. Read a little bit more.
Verse number 16 says, let us therefore come
bold. Prayer time. Y'all should have that little note in your Bible. Prayer time. Let us come what? Boldly. To the throne of grace.
That we may obtain
so that you can obtain what?
Mercy.
You can't get this at home. You can't get this at home. Nah. This is it. You got to have this in your mind. You got to have an altar built up in your mind. And you can go around talking about, I got an altar built up in my mind. You're lying. You wouldn't be doing so much sinning if you had an altar built up in your mind. Something else is there. If you had the right thing there, you wouldn't be sinning so much. Does that make sense?
Right.
Talking about your mind on Jesus. 5 seconds later, you cussing. That don't even matter. You enjoying, hear gospel song, you all happy, gospel music going. Oh, that's my song, I love it. 5 seconds later, you depressed. Music go off, you sad. Your whole countenance shifted. Wonder what's wrong with you? Why are you looking like that, Pope? What you mean, what's wrong with me? Did I say anything to you? I see right there, you done got the wrong spirit inside. The wrong spirit didn't come from anywhere. It was already in you. Read a little bit more.
And that has obtained mercy and find grace.
Yeah, to help in the what? Now, I'm going to get ready to let y'all go. But I wanted to show you all in Romans chapter number 6. It says 6 and 3. Knowing, what does it say? That
6 and 3.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Right? Therefore we are buried with him by what? Now in verse number 11 is an accounting term. And I wanted to share this thought with you. It's just like, how many people have wrote a check? You wrote a check. Now you say, for example, in your checking account, you may say, I have $1,000 in there. You go to the checking account, you go in the bank, you see your balance is $1,000. But you go to some store and you write a check for $500. Just because you wrote that check don't mean that that money came out the bank account.
Right.
When you go back to the bank account, you still going to see what? $1,000. It is up to you to reckon
right. In
your own mind that money ain't really there.
Right.
Even though I see $1,000, the true balance is $500.
Right.
Now they may not take that money out the account for months,
yeah. But
it's up to you to keep that money in the bank.
Right.
Because the minute they go and it ain't there, it's going to bounce all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And it's all because you didn't reckon
right. That
the money wasn't there no more, right?
Right.
It is up to you to count it as being what? Gone.
Yeah.
Huh? So I'm trying to tell you, when you come about that water, it's up to you to count that sin need to be gone.
Right.
Because when you look in the mirror, you're still going to look the same.
Mm-hmm.
When the world see you, they still going to see you the same.
Right.
But it's up to you to say, no, that's dead.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
That's no longer in me no more. Yes, it is. Because I remember, you was able to do this and able to do that. You could still do it again. No. It's not in me no more. Well, if it ain't in you, where'd it go? The blood of Jesus removed it. Huh? He removed it. That's true. Now it's up to you to count it like that. Now if you don't do that, you go spending something that you ain't got no money to spend.
Right.
And it would come when it comes time to pay that debt. Death. After death, death is the judgment.
Right.
When it comes time to pay that debt, you owe.
Yeah.
Where's your money, sinner man? Your bag would be empty. Hold up, judge. I did get baptized. You did? I got baptized in Jesus' name. When? Oh, April 1st, 1980. But all this stuff that you was doing after that. Seemed like when the death angel knocked on your door, you was at a party then. We looked at your medical records. You had all kind of stuff in there. All kind of drugs and alcohol all in your system. Yet, but you say you want to bring before me that the blood of Jesus is in you? Yeah, I do see that you did go down in water on April 1st, 1980. But just as soon as you went down in that water, you came up doing the same things you was doing before you went down in there. You didn't value the blood of Jesus. Unfortunately, you left the blood right in the pool. You came up out of it, but you left it right down there in the pool. That's something, isn't it? All because you didn't reckon yourself to be what dead. Is that what verse number 11 says? Likewise do what reckon ye also yourselves to be what?
Dead indeed.
Go a little bit further and say, no man can serve two masters. Either will love one or you hate the other, right?
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield yourselves members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness.
So that's how you think. People be all and say, well, Elder Scudder, and I answer, yes. But you don't understand, Elder Scudder. Well, no, it's not me that don't understand, it's you. You're thinking that I'm some kind of a genie. You're thinking that when you come and join in this church, that some kind of way you're going to lose the ability to think for yourself. And you're going to put all of this on somebody else. Oh, I'm having problems. I can't stop doing this. I can't stop doing that. Well, I think the person you need to check with is yourself then. Seem like to me, if I wanted to stop, I'll stop.
Right.
Just like you say, well, Elder Scudder, I don't want to drink no more. Well, stop buying it. Stop buying the liquor. Stop going around those that drink the liquor. Okay. And soon, a couple of days later, go by. I ride by and see a brown bag in your hand. What happened? Oh, nothing. Okay. Well, you have a good one. All right. I thought he saw my... See, you're fooling yourself. You worried about me seeing it. The person that needs to see it is you.
Right.
You should have been trying to hide from me.
Right.
But I'm not the one that's going to judge you.
Jesus
is the one that sees everything that we're doing.
Right.
I wonder what he's going to say to me next time he sees me. Hello? How you doing? How's your family? Good. Okay. Well, you know the other day when you saw me. Mm-hmm. But I'm still trying. You just keep me in prayer. I never said I stopped praying for you. But at the end of the day, it's your life. They're your decisions. Huh? Come on, saints, it's the truth. It is the truth. It's your decisions, it's your life. Now, if you want to waste it, that's on you. One thing I have learned, time don't wait for you to make up your mind. It keeps right on moving. Whether your mind is made up or not. Huh? Wouldn't that be a shame if some of our last day was the day? And we sit up here and leave this earth without a made up mind. 1st thing folk gonna say, well, at least they tried. Well, I'm gonna tell you flat footed, they didn't try hard enough. Because the Lord done gave you plenty of time to get yourself together. And you did absolutely nothing with that time. You realize you in the church a week, you got enough time to get your soul saved. If you in the church for one day, you got enough time to get your soul saved. See, you could join the church Sunday morning, tell them, say, look, y'all got to get me in the water today. Okay. Well, the water going to be cold, because just put me in the water right now. Huh? In the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Come up out that water. Ooh. Do you all realize a person can come up out the water speaking in tongues? Person can receive the Holy Ghost while the word is going forth? So that means in the matter of one day, they done got both water and spirit taken care of. But it was all because they had a what?
Right.
I need a man. So you got plenty of time. You got all the time you need. But what you gonna do with it is up to you. Huh? That's true. Think about it. Those that went to work this week, you went to work. If you worked an hour on that job, they still got to pay you for it, right?
Huh?
They got to pay you for it. Whether they say, you only worked an hour. They still got to pay you for that 1 hour. Because that's what you worked. And it's the same concept with your life. Same concept with you spiritually. Think about how much time you're putting in with Jesus. Say, Elder Scott, I really want to be saved. No, don't say it. Think about what you're putting in. Time-wise. Where's your mind at during the day? When you're really talking, when you're saying I'm by myself and ain't nobody else around me, where's your mind at? What are you pondering on? That word ponder means to think. What are you letting your mind go off into? All of that stuff, it feeds your desire. It really shows you really what it is that you really want in life. So we always say the same thing to you. Make your mind up. Make your mind up. Call the Lord with a what? A made up mind. Don't let your mind get off in the stuff that don't need to get off into, right? All right, Elder Scudder's done. Told you I closed up my book. Good Lord.